Wonder what version Mother's Bible was. I want to read for you several verses tonight, if I can see them here. I can find a spot here. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the sin question and the son question. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? A tare is something that looks just like a shock of wheat. You couldn't tell the difference. And so whence cometh the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. He said, you can't tell the tares. You can't tell them yourself. You'd pick it, you'd pull out some wheat, not the tare. And let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now there's explanation of that. And I'm trying to find it here. It's hard to read in this Bible. But let me see here. Then Jesus said, or sent the multitude away and went into the house. His disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the Bible, the devil's children are always religious people. You're a son of Adam if you're unsaved, but when you join some false religion or get religious and don't belong, never been born again, you become a child of the devil. That's what it says. You make a person a twofold child of hell more than just one. And it says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. These tares that look like Christians are going to hell, the Bible says. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, bless our message tonight, please. Amen. I want to make several statements first, and as always on this particular service, the sermon will not be a long one. We're always a little late getting to the sermon. It'll not be a long sermon, but I want everybody to listen to me. I want everybody in this house. I cannot see you. If you want to be discourteous, you can. If you want to be rude, you can. If you want to misbehave, you can. And you can get by with it. But I'd hate to be the kind of person that have to have the lights on to behave. And God sees everybody in this room tonight. And God's going to deal with you for what you do with what I'm going to say from the Word of God tonight. I want to give you six statements first. Statement number one, Satan invented tares. Satan invented something that looked just like the wheat. Statement number two, and that's what I just said. He invented tares, and they looked exactly like the wheat. Statement number three, we cannot tell ourselves who's a tare and who's wheat. You see, the wheat represents those who are born again. The wheat represents those whose names are written in heaven. The wheat represents those whom, if Jesus came tonight, would rise to meet him in the air. But tonight in this room, all over this room, there's wheat. But just as sure as there's wheat all over this room tonight, there are also tares. I do not know how many tares, but I'll guarantee you I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a tare for every couple of shocks a week. Wouldn't be surprised at all. I'm convinced tonight that there are tares in our college. People who are not born again. Your name's on the church roll. You look like you're saved. You talk like you're saved. You act like you're saved. But you've never really been born again. I'm convinced tonight, on a deacon board the size of ours, somebody who looks like a Christian, talks like one, sings like one, acts like one, teaches like one, and lives like one, I'm convinced there's some who are tares. I'm convinced that in this dear choir here tonight of 100 voices or so, I'm convinced the devil has placed some people in this choir tonight who are not really born again. Many times they thought, I ought to settle this thing, but they'd be too embarrassing for them because they wouldn't want people to know that they haven't been saved all the time. You say, preacher, I know, boy, a lot of folks I know in this church don't live right. Oh, wait a minute now. The tares aren't those that don't live right. The tares are those that look most like the wheat. The tare doesn't smoke. The tare doesn't drink. The tare doesn't curse. The tare is clean and pure and decent and right. The tare tithes. The tare comes to church on Sunday morning and back on Sunday night. The tare comes to church on Wednesday night. You see, the tare looked just like the wheat. And the truth is, we cannot tell. I do not know who it is in the choir who's a tare, but I guarantee you they're there. I do not know who it is in this section right here who's a tare, but I guarantee you that scattered throughout this section right here, there are people who live it, and yet you don't have it. You're tares. You look like wheat, talk like wheat, sing like wheat, live a clean life like wheat. You don't drink like wheat. You don't, you tithe like wheat. You come to church like wheat, but you're a tare. I'll guarantee you, I don't know who you are, but there's some folks in this section here. You're a tare. You know who you are. There are folks right this minute. In your heart, something is saying to you, I know I'm one. I know I am, or I don't know that I'm saved. He's probably talking to me. There's somebody here in this section who's a tare. I don't know who you are, but you're there. And in this section, back in the darkness of this corner, there's some tares over there. I don't know who you are, but know you're there. Up here in this section, and this section, and this section, and this section, and this one, and down here, over here, and over here. Every section in this house tonight, there are people who are tares. I said, number one, Satan invented tares. I said, number two, they look exactly like the wheat. I said, number three, we cannot tell who they are. I want to make this statement. And I've never made this statement in 40 years of preaching, pastoring. The sad thing is, you can get to the place to where you yourself won't even know that you're a tare. You'll have yourself convinced that you're wheat. Satan not only will make you look so much like the wheat that others will not tell you apart, but Satan will convince you that you're wheat when you're a tare. The Bible says, by the way, that eliminates the worldling. Satan's not proud of the drunkard in the church. He's proud of the one that looks like the Christian. The worldling is not the tare. The drinking church member is not the tare. He may be unsaved, but he's not the tare. The gambling, cursing church member is not the tare. The unfaithful church member is not the tare. The non-tithing church member is not the tare. The tare is not distinguishable by human eyes or human minds from the wheat. I said, Satan invented tares. I said, the tares look exactly like the wheat. I said, we cannot tell who they are, and sometimes we ourselves cannot understand or realize that we are tares. Number four, that eliminates the worldling. Number five, they grow side by side. They grow side by side. Now listen to me. The churches that have no church tonight and never have a Sunday night service, as Vance Havner used to say, he's not worried about these churches that don't have Sunday night services. He's upset because they do have Sunday morning services that preach so little gospel. It'd be better if it closed Sunday morning and Sunday night. Let a fundamental church have the building. But that's not where the tares are. The tares are not in a liberal Baptist church tonight. The tares are not in a liberal Methodist church tonight. The tares are not in a liberal Presbyterian church tonight. The tares are in fundamental churches. Because it says that they go side by side with the wheat. And I'll guarantee you this. The devil has more tares in the First Baptist Church of Hammond than it does the First Methodist Church of Hammond. Why? Because the devil wants you to convince everybody that you're a Christian and convince yourself that you're a Christian so you will not be ever convicted, so you can die someday and go to hell and burn forever off the church roll of a fundamental Baptist church. But that means they go side by side. The tare and the wheat sit side by side in the choir tonight. The tares and the wheat sit side by side in the faculty meeting at the high school and grade school and junior high school tomorrow morning. The tares and the wheat will sit side by side on the staff and faculty of Hiles Anderson College tomorrow. The tares and the wheat will sit side by side in chapel at Hiles Anderson College tomorrow morning. The tares and the wheat will sit side by side in chapel at Hammond Baptist High School Wednesday morning. The tares and the wheat will sit side by side in City Baptist High School tomorrow morning. I'm saying that the tares and the wheat grow side by side. They grow side by side on the faculty of a Christian school. They grow side by side in the student body of a Christian school. They grow side by side on the staff of a Baptist church. They grow side by side on a deacon board. They grow side by side in a Sunday school teacher's meeting. They grow side by side in Sunday school classes. They grow side by side in choirs. They grow side by side. Now, listen carefully. How are these tares planted? How did they get in the church? Two reasons. One is, the devil calls us to bypass the sin question. He wants us to have some kind of a synthetic salvation which bypassed the sin question. But you can't be saved and bypass the sin question. Let me explain what I mean. I preached a sermon a year or two ago at this very service called Fundamental Heresy. And in that Fundamental Heresy sermon, I made some comments that I'm going to make again tonight a little bit. But you've got to face the sin question. If you didn't know you were a sinner, you didn't get saved. You may have said, I take Jesus into my heart, but you didn't get saved. You may have said, I give my heart to Jesus, but you didn't get saved. Listen, the whole purpose is the sin question. That's why we need to get saved. Man was innocent in the Garden of Eden. He hadn't sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is the issue. Reason Jesus came to earth was because of sin. Reason he spent 33 homesick years away from the Father was because of sin. Reason he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief was because of sin. Reason he was despised and rejected of men was because of sin. Reason the birds had their nests, the foxes had their holes, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head was because of sin. The reason for the betrayal of Jesus was because of sin. The reason for the death of Jesus was because of sin. The reason for the resurrection of Jesus was because of sin. The reason for the ascension of Jesus was because of sin. And the reason he sits tonight at the right hand of the Father is because of sin. And you can't be saved and bypass the sin question. For example, we say, you give your heart to Jesus and you can be saved. Now, I'm sorry, that's not enough. I'm going to ask you a question. Why give your heart to Jesus? Any child, just about, somebody walks up and says, would you give your heart to Jesus? He'd say, yes, I will. All right, would you say after me, I give my heart to Jesus? Well, okay, but why? I'll tell you why. Because your heart is wicked and desperately wicked and sinful, and you owe a debt, and Jesus paid that debt, and you accept him as your substitute. And brother, if you just gave your heart to Jesus and did not realize he was your substitute who paid the penalty for your sin, and you belong to a Baptist church tonight and are sitting in this room, you're a tare. You've got to face the sin question. That's the reason little children can't be saved until they reach the age of accountability. And what is that age? When they know right from wrong. They've got to know right from wrong. They've got to know that they do wrong, and that wrong is against God, and that God has a penalty set on that wrong, but that he gave his son Jesus to come and pay that penalty for them, and they rely upon Jesus to do it. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 104 years old, you've got to face the sin question. Satan comes and sows tares in our churches by causing us to bypass the sin section, the sin question. Somebody says, let Jesus come into your heart. Well, why? Why? I was in a motel room in Colorado recently, and I was watching on television a newscast. When that newscast ended, I saw a program. I've never seen it. To remember, I may have and forgotten. It's called it's a Canadian program. Something Huntley Street. And it's sort of a 700 Club kind of a program, or a PTO Club program. And they had a fellow there that won a fellow to Christ, so-called, on the television set. And I watched him. Well, man, I'll tell you what, by the time that rascal got through trying to tell the fellow how to be saved, I didn't know how to be saved. I never saw such a weak demonstration of soul winning in my life. It was pitiful. Absolutely pitiful. And the reason is, he did not make it clear that the reason you're lost is sin. Let Jesus come into your heart. Why let Jesus come into your heart? Because you're a sinner. And because you owe a debt for sin. And because Jesus came and lived and died and paid the sin debt for you. He rose again after 72 hours for your justification. He sat to the right hand of God tonight as your intercessor because of sin. If he gets you to bypass the sin question, he's got you pretty well on your way to hell sliding down a church aisle. Thus, I took Jesus as my Savior. From what? One fellow can walk down this aisle and say, I won't let Jesus come into my heart and die and go to hell and mean it. Person can walk down this aisle and say, I want to give my heart to Jesus and die and go to hell and mean it. Person can walk down the aisle and say, I want to take Jesus as my Savior and die and go to hell and mean it. Savior from what? Savior from sin. You have got to face the sin question. Because that's the thing that made you lost. Man was not lost until man sinned. Man was not guilty until man sinned. There was no need for a penalty being paid until man was guilty, and Jesus paid that penalty. You've got to know that you are a sinner or you're not saved. I get a little tired of hearing people say, well, I'm saved because I had an experience of grace. We sing the song, I was there when it happened, and all to know. I'm not against that song, but that's not enough for me. Boy, I tell you what, I went to church, somebody said, all of a sudden I began to feel something, I began to tingle in my soul. All of a sudden I knew God was talking to me, and I went down to the altar and made Jesus my Lord. That's all you did, you'll die and go to hell someday. You've got to face the sin question. You've got to face the sin question. That's the difference in liberals and fundamentalists. Liberals don't want to face the sin question. Man's nature does not want to admit that he's sinful, and if he does admit he's sinful, his nature wants to think he can get out of it himself. And I felt it. You felt what? Well, I asked Jesus to save me. That's not enough. Question is, from what? From what? You can give your heart to Jesus if it's not as your substitute because you're a sinner, you're a tare. You can let Jesus come into your heart, but if it's not because you're taking him as your substitute and the penalty for sin, you're a tare. You can take Jesus as your Savior, but unless you know he died to save you from your sin because you're guilty and condemned before God, you're a tare. You can have experience with God and be a tare.
You can feel it and be attacked. Well, that's what the devil does. The devil would love to give you some kind of a feeling that will substitute for your faith. You can ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you and still be a terror. You've got to face the sin question. I'll ask you a question. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to rebaptize anybody. I just want you to go to heaven when you die. And I don't want anybody to sit in these pews and hear this preacher preach day after day, month after month, week after week, year after year, and not know. You've got to face the sin question if you go to heaven. Now you listen to me. What did you do when the time you look back to is the time of your salvation? Did you face the sin question? That's the whole story. I'm not saying did you confess all your sins? I'll get there after a while. I'm not saying did you know all of your sins? I'm saying did you know you were a sinner? If you let Jesus come into your heart, was it in faith because he was your sin bearer? Now there's a second question. That's the son question. How do you get these tares in these churches? How do you get them? How does the devil sow them? He's the one, the enemy, the devil, sows them. First thing he does, he comes and he bypasses the sin question. He loves for you to say, give your heart to Jesus, as long as the by sin question is not mentioned. He loves for you to say, let Jesus come into your heart, as long as you're bypassing the sin question. He loves for you to say, I took Jesus as my Savior, as long as you're bypassing the sin question. He loves for you to say, I had an experience of grace, as long as you bypass the sin question. He loves for you to say, glory to God, I felt it, as long as you bypass the sin question. Or I asked Jesus to save me, as long as you bypass the sin question. Now you listen to me. I don't know where you are. There's not 50 people tonight that I can distinguish in this audience. Way back up there in that section, there's somebody sitting up there in the darkness of that section tonight. And your name is on a church roll, maybe this church roll. And when your name was placed on that church roll, you never one time faced the sin question. Now you can slough it off if you want to. You can just say, I won't listen to that preacher if you want to. But one day, God's going to hold your attention. And one day, if you don't face it now, you're going to face it then. Same thing's true about that section. And that section. And all this great crowd. All over this house tonight. You better listen. You no more can get saved by avoiding the sin question with a bunch of cliches than you can get saved by being baptized or joining a church or taking communion or confessing your sins to a priest. You've got to face the sin question. The devil comes and he says, I'll get this person in the church. I'll make him look like a Christian. I'll make him give like a Christian. I'll make him live like a Christian. I'll make him act like a Christian. I'll make him talk like a Christian. I'll make him sing like a Christian. We won't face the sin question. Bless God, one day you're going to face this sin question. Now what you better do, if you've got any sense at all, you better face it while you still have a chance to face it to make a difference in your eternity. And the devil comes, not only does he, in sowing these tares in the church, does he bypass the sin question, but now follow me carefully. This is some virgin ground. He comes and says, bypass the sin question. Now here's a person, listen to me now, here's a person who faces the sin question. I know I'm a sinner. I know sinners are lost. I know I'm condemned to hell. I'm sick and tired of hearing evangelists on nationwide television not go ahead and say that people that are lost in their sin are going to die and burn in the fires and torments of a devil's hell forever. Why don't you preach it like it is? Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all those that forget God. Bible said, then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Bible said, then should it say to those on the left hand, depart, I never knew you. I'm saying the Bible says there's a hell, it has fire, and it's forever. But the devil wants, if he can't keep you from bypassing the sin question, so there you are. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I know I'm condemned as a sinner. Yes, I know that. So I'll ask forgiveness of my sins. You see what the devil's doing? He couldn't get you to bypass the sin question, so he's going to get you to bypass the son question. He couldn't get you to bypass the diagnosis, so now he's going to try to get you to bypass the cure. You listen to me? You see? He couldn't get you to go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with you, so now he wants you not to take the medicine the doctor gives you. So a fellow says, okay, I face the sin question. I know I'm a sinner. I'll ask God to forgive me. You can ask God to forgive you, your horse, and die and go to hell if you don't, by faith, get born again. And you're not born again because you ask God to forgive you. Devil says, if I can't get you to bypass the sin question, I'll get you to bypass the son question. Well, you say, okay, I face the sin question. I know I'm a sinner. So I'll forsake my sin. I forsook my sin. First place, you can't do that. Second place, if you could, you would die and go to hell. You've got to face the Son of God. You've got to face the sin question. And a lot of folks will go to hell from the church rolls of First Baptist Church in Hammond because they're trusting something that happened to them that when they bypass the sin question, then there are others that will go to hell as tares from a church roll because they face the sin question, but they've never been willing to face the son question. Well, I'll repent of my sins. That won't get you to heaven either. Whatever you do, hear me now, whatever you do to dispose of your sins might make you a better human being, but it will not get you one step toward heaven. I'll turn over a new leaf. Sorry, you've faced the sin question, but you haven't faced the son question. I'll come down to the altar and I'll cry and beg God to repent of my sins. And okay, that's good. You faced the sin question, but you haven't faced the son question. The only reason that you must face the sin question, ladies and gentlemen, is so you will be able to come to the Son. You won't come to the Son unless you realize that you can't do it yourself and that you're a sinner. But if you do realize that you're a sinner and don't come to the Son, you'll be just like the person that didn't face the sin question. You didn't face the Son question. Now let's just make it plain. That's ABC. There are four things you've got to do. Now let's just go back and let's remember whatever. If you've never joined the church, okay, this is what you've got to do. If you've never received Christ, okay, this is what you've got to do. If you joined the church, I want to ask you, it's four simple tests. That's all I want. And I'm putting myself through these tests right now as I put you. I'm not going to go to hell from a pulpit. If I call this preacher's name, 95% of the people in this room would know him. And only the other 5% are folks who don't know church religious history very well. A Christian history very well. One of the outstanding evangelists in the last 75 years has preached all over this nation, has books all over this nation. Dr. Walter Wilson was at his bedside. And it's not Dr. Wilson I'm talking about, but Dr. Walter Wilson told me this story. He went to the bedside of this famous evangelist who had preached all over this nation and whose name any of you fundamentalists would know as a household word. He went to the bedside of that man and saw him die. And he saw that preacher scream and say, Walter, I'm going to hell. I've preached it, but I'm not born again. I've seen others born again, but I'm not born again. You couldn't pay me enough money or give me enough honor to cause me to take my watch and let 5 seconds tick away with me not sure I'm wheat. Because I may die in that 5 seconds. Now, I ask you, take these tests. There are four things you've got to know in order to be saved. Number one, you've got to know you're a sinner. The sin question. That time that happened to you or that place and time when you supposedly received Christ, did you know you were a sinner? Huh? Second thing you've got to know, there's a penalty on sin. If you don't know there's a penalty on sin, why get saved? Why worry about sin? There's no price. The wages of sin is death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all is sin. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. You've got to know that there's a penalty on sin. Number three, you've got to know that Jesus paid that penalty. You've got to know that he did not owe it himself. He did not sin. And you've got to know that he went to the cross, and on the cross, he charged your sins to his record and paid the penalty for your sin. Now, folks, that's what salvation's all about. Salvation is not some sweet Christian saying, I want God to come in my life and I want blessed Jesus to come in my life. For what? You've got to do this. You've got some time in your life to know that you're a sinner. Sinners are in debt because of sin, penalty on sin. Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross and paid that penalty. Number four, you've got to, by faith, rely upon him as your Savior from sin. You've got to face the Son question tonight as the answer to the sin question. Now, if you face the Son question, not the sin question, you have a Savior that's not the Savior. If you face the sin question, not the Son question, you have a sin that you're trying to correct or letting the church try to correct instead of the Son trying to correct. Now, as simple as that, have you faced or did you face the sin question? And once you face the sin question, did you face the Son question? I'm finished. I want to say this. You won't point a bloody finger out of hell at me someday. When you're screaming and crying in the torments of hell, you won't point a bloody finger out of hell at me and say, Preacher, you didn't warn me. You won't do that justly. I'm warning you. I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything. I'm not trying to turn in reports. We don't turn in reports. I'm not concerned about that. I just don't want you to go to hell when you die. That's all. Brother, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, and the saved of earth have gathered over on the other shore, the roll is called up yonder, and I'm there. Let me tell you something. You won't look from earth up to the sky while you're going through the tribulation period, hopelessly lost and condemned to hell forever. You won't point to me and say, Preacher, you didn't warn me. You can't do that. You may point to me and say you criticize somebody else's religion. You may do that, and brother, if they don't preach the Son question right and the sin question right, they're going to be the object of my criticism. I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in getting you out of hell and getting you to heaven. The only kind of religion that's Bible religion is the sin question is right and the Son question is right. That's it. And when we stand at the great white throne judgment and those who are saved judge the unsaved, and the book of life is opened and your name is written, and you stand beside me, and then they call you to the face God, and God says your name is not in the book of life, and we who are Christians judge you. Not one of you can point a finger across that great white throne judgment when your name is read and you're cast into hell forever. Not a one of you can point your finger at me and say, Preacher, you didn't warn me. Now you better face this matter. And every once in a while, we ought to just take our salvation out and look at it and reexamine it and say, Blessed be God, and put it back in. Or take it out, look at it, and examine it and say, it's not real, but I'm going to make it real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know, it's real. I ask you one question. Up in this section, wheat or tare? You know, I don't, you do. Over in this section, wheat or tare? You know, I don't, you do. Side of the lower floor, wheat or tear?
Huh? I don't know.
But you do.
This side of the balcony. Wheat or tare? Huh? I don't know who you are. I can just see faces. In some cases, I can't even see that. This side of the balcony. Wheat, tare. This side of the lower floor. I don't know. You do. Wheat or tare? In the mezzanine. Wheat or tare? I don't know. I'm not trying to make you lost if you're saved. When you made your decision for Christ, if you faced the sin question, the son question, glory to God, don't you walk down this aisle tonight and don't you do a thing. You just lift your hand toward heaven and say, bless God, there was a day when I faced the sin question and realized that the only answer to the sin question was the son question. I'm talking to those of you that can't give a testimony of the sin question and the son question. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving. No one is moving.